Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. Really excited today. I've known Allison Wachowski for quite a while now, and I've had some great conversations with her about customer marketing and customer-led growth. But first, Allison, why don't you say hello and introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, everybody. And thank you, Scott, for asking me. I'm always still humbled when someone wants to hear what I have to say. But as long as people are asking, you know by now, I will keep talking. So I'm Allison Bukowski. I am currently the Senior Director of Customer Marketing and Product Marketing at PeerSpot. And I'm fairly new to PeerSpot. I've been in my role for just a couple of months now.
So tell us a little bit about your journey. You know, you said you've been there just for a little bit of time. How did you get there? What were you doing beforehand? What makes you tick?
We don't have enough minutes in this podcast to get through all of it. But professionally speaking, even though I know I always comment on people before professionals, but I've worked within customer marketing and customer advocacy for nearly 15 years now in some capacity. So I've spent my career either in technology, specifically cybersecurity, or in healthcare. Those are the two industries that I've been in. And previously was cybersecurity. And I love building programs. Came in, got to build from the ground up a customer advocacy program. And I've done that a couple of times now. But my roots actually go all the way back to writing. I was an English major. That's where my career started. I bounced around from academia to nonprofit to corporate America, which is where I've landed and stayed. But I've always been peripherally related to the customer experience. And that's what ultimately has kept me within customer marketing and customer advocacy, because I'm so passionate about customer service, both inside the office, but then also in my personal life as well. I joke that I'm the one who fills out the survey cards. I don't care who it is. Chewy sends me a survey, McDonald's, whatever. I'm the one who does that. And I think that really is part of what makes me tick, and just a general curiosity that I love talking to people, and I especially love being a part of this community.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, since I've known you, which has been about, well, I said it's been a while now, but reality is probably a year and a half, 2 years. And I just see you constantly giving back to folks. You know, like today you had a great post on LinkedIn. But I want to really, you know, based on your experiences, talk to you about customer marketing and customer advocacy. There's a lot of discussion going on. Should they be treated equally? Should one be a subset of the other? So let's just jump right into this, because this is what people want to know. Should there be a distinction between the two?
Yes, I think is the short answer. Although I believe that there needs to be a distinction between the two, but we also need to have an understanding that these are not mutually exclusive, right? I've always kind of looked at customer marketing as really the umbrella. I'm a visual person. So that for me encompasses all things that involve communicating with, supporting, engaging with existing customers. You know, you might want to use that synonymously with the customer experience, and then the mechanisms that, you know, we do all of those things like communicating. So the key word, though, I think is all customers. I view customer advocacy as a subset, but not any less important, of course, from customer marketing, where it's more exclusively focused on a subset of the total customer base. And it's very relationships focused. And you're not applying the same strategies necessarily or the same tactics as you would within customer marketing, which is a bit more broad. Customer advocacy really zeroes in on what makes people tick. To your first question, what makes them tick? What are their preferences? What makes them people? What makes them professionals? And making sure that they're having a truly exceptional experience, so that they are willing to sing your praises. They're willing to be an advocate on your behalf.
So I think we're on the same page in terms of it being a subset. So there's other parts of customer marketing, and we're going to focus on advocacy, but is advocacy weighted the same as other subsets of customer marketing, or is it like maybe a little bit more important? How do you think about that?
You know, I hate to say it, because I would like to say that they all get equal play, because they are really important. One of the things that has come up a lot lately is this talk around customer journey. And I realize that, that's another topic, that's another podcast, but it all comes together as part of that customer journey, right? Customer marketing is a part of it. Customer advocacy is a part of it. I think really what it comes down to, unfortunately, is the fact that they should be treated equally, but it's a resourcing issue. Organizations simply, they don't have the resources. They don't want to make the investment in a fully operational customer marketing department, which is, I think, why you end up, you know, I have a lot of conversations with CMA professionals and there's scope creep, and it's very real. And I think sometimes we're asked to do maybe things that are not really within the world of customer advocacy. And I think that has also blurred the lines a little bit. So lengthy answer to your question, Scott, but yes, they should all be, they're equally important, but they work best when they're all together.
Are there other customer facing activities, groups that advocacy should work closely with? Like CABS comes to mind.
If I'm understanding your question correctly, kind of asking about maybe things that were traditionally like field marketing, or what sort of activities should customer advocacy be partnering with? And the reason why I paused before answering the question, because immediately you said CAB and I thought, well, that is customer advocacy. I've been like trained to believe that that is true because of that scope creep, right? And I think we have to understand, what is it really, customer advocacy in and of itself? And I think in its purest form, it's building a strong program to engage that subset of customers to have an exceptional experience, which those relationships then that you can lean on, and those are used to source other things, which I think is your question. That would be things like CABS, right? Those customer advisory boards or other customer events, webinars, speaking opportunities, things that often in a fully robust marketing org, field marketing would have a lot of responsibility, or product marketing would have a responsibility for those things. But a lot of times what I am seeing is it's not just customer advocacy sourcing, it's customer advocacy running. And I think that's just the nature of depending on the organization and resourcing that I mentioned earlier.
No, I love that. And when you said the word, maybe it's an organization issue, or how where organizations are in their life cycle, because I've worked at a lot of technology companies, and you have kind of your advocacy leader, but then you also have a CAB leader, and then you might have another CMO advisor leader. And so these things get really dispersed. And at the end of the day, my experience is this big Venn diagram, if you do that. So you've got all these different people talking to the same customers.
Exactly. And then you potentially end up with a very disjointed customer experience, right? So that journey, or that overall customer experience, which is kind of that third piece, that it's maybe a little more intangible than saying customer marketing, customer advocacy, but all of that goes together to the customer experience. And it's not just marketing. That's customer success, that's sales, that's the support team. Everyone upholds and is a part of that customer experience. And when we aren't connected, you end up with a frustrated customer. At least that's what I've experienced. I know, working like you, been in many organizations, some small, some very, very large, and it doesn't seem to matter the size. There's still the opportunity for that disjointed customer experience.
Changing topics just a little bit. So customer marketing has advocacy there. How should customer marketing work with or interface with other parts of the organization? You know, what have you seen work, whether it's from an org structure or whether it's from a process approach?
So, and I assume in this particular example, customer advocacy is sitting within the marketing department. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I would say that what I always tell my senior leadership, when I've come in and I've been asked to either build out a brand new program, or if I've been asked to expand an existing program, I refer to customer marketing as, one, it has to be embedded into the DNA of the organization. And two, it's really like the connective tissue or the glue that kind of brings all these different departments together. So to answer your question, at a minimum, who should customer marketing be engaging with? Without a doubt, sales. Without a doubt, other marketing partners, customer success, the product organization. And I've even started to see examples of human capital and human resources and kind of weaving into that particular facet of the business. Because really, at the end of the day, we're about the customer and the customer voice, and it should be represented everywhere, from your product managers to your support team and all the other areas I mentioned.
You mentioned human capital. Really interested in that. Part of that, the human capital in the company, where it's really getting employees to be advocates or part of an advocacy initiative? Or is it about like learning and development and sharing information?
Both, really. I think that obviously when a company is looking to project, you know, itself outward as a great place to work, I think what customers say about an organization is it's the same sort of concept, right? Like sales, don't take our word for it. Listen to our customers. Same sort of thing with human capital. And I think also it really says something about an organization when they can show new employees, new hires, just how customer-centric they are. Really a shout out to one of my peers and friends, Luis Gonzalez at Alteryx. He's doing work in this particular area, and it's really fascinating what they've done, his partnership with his human capital group. So I don't want to steal any thunder from what he's doing, but I have used it as well to help promote an organization. I think it's a newer area and it's exciting.
I love that. Yeah, Lewis will be on the show probably in a few weeks. So I'll have to ask him the same
question.
Ask him.
Tell him I said you have to ask that question.
I will. And then I'll have to do some cross-linking between this podcast and that podcast. That's really fascinating. So, you know, you've been in large companies, medium-sized, small companies. We find that a lot of customer marketers are a one or two-person show, and they have to wear many hats. What advice do you have for people in that situation? Like, the common question is, I don't have a lot of resources. It's me. I don't know where to get started. I don't know how to work across the organization. You know, what pearls of wisdom can you share?
I think first and foremost, it's clarity. It's getting clarity around the asks and the goals. What I mean by that, because now I have been that one man band. I got to go a long time being part of this large engine. And it was amazing where, oh, we're doing an event. Oh, I have an events team to do that. Or, you know, we're going to do a case study. Well, I've got writers. Then I got tossed into, nope, Allison, you are the writer, the event planner, the advocacy program coordinator. So I think it's about goals. And what I mean by that is the organizational goals. And I think this is true from the interview process. If you're fortunate enough to be able to ask questions while you're going through that, or if you're already in and you're just looking, where do we get started? Ask questions of your key stakeholders. What are your goals? What are the organizational goals? And then take a look at how you can support those goals. And then you have to start prioritizing. That's my second piece of advice, because you cannot do it all at once. It's just simply impossible. And I think some of that depends where you sit in the organization. And I think some of that depends on, you know, what your executive team or your stakeholders want from you. And then the third thing, so first, understand the goals. Two, prioritize and come to the table with your suggestions and your plan of attack. And then three, be ready to push back. And I mean that I've used the term bulldozer and gentle bulldozer. I've used that a few times, but you have to. You have to be ready to do that, and also to be able to say, that's wonderful. These were the priorities that we had laid out. If those are changing, what's moving off of the plate? Only because I see so many, especially the young professionals, that just, you're burned out. Mm-hmm. You're burnt out within 6 months because it's not feasible to do all the things.
Yeah. You talk about prioritizing. Is there some advice about, and I'm going to get way in the weeds here, about how to push back to your manager or how to push back to other people in the organization?
I think that if you set yourself up correctly with understand the goals, have open dialogue and feedback, get buy-in, which means get agreement, it becomes a lot easier to push back then because you're not working in a vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. So if you come into an organization and we need 20 case studies and we need a cab and we need that in 30 days. Well, first of all, that's silly. That's not doable. But if those are the goals, okay, that's fine. Everyone agrees and this is what I'm going to focus on and you have a timeline. But then all of a sudden, 30 days later, the focus shifts and it's, we need 100 peer reviews coming in.
Yeah.
And we need that right away. It's a lot easier to go back and point to, we agreed, cab, case studies. And then you get to make, my favorite is that's when you get to say, what comes off or what resources do you give me to get more done? And I know people are listening. They're like, that's a nice fantasy land that you live in, Allison. But I have, people have done it and it does work. It's a little uncomfortable sometimes, but get the buy-in, go back and lean on it, and then move forward and ask accordingly so you can be successful.
You said this like a fantasy land. It made me think of what's the Disney tagline and dreams become realities or something. Or
yeah, exactly. Which, and it can. I don't live in a fantasy land. And I will say that the longer that you do this, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting more cynical. I'm not sure, but it does become easier to push back.
Yeah.
But once you start doing it, it's really just setting expectations, what it all comes down to.
Yeah. So I just want to kind of go back to something we talked about is advocacy being in customer marketing. Do you think advocacy should be in just in marketing or should be in different parts of the organization?
I think that advocacy can sit in various places within the organization. And I think the barometer for making that decision kind of goes back to what I was saying about organizational goals. I know certainly in my career, I have sat within marketing, within sales enablement, within customer success. And I've even sat within a technology portion of the organization. And all of them made sense except that last one. That was a disaster. But I think depending on the goals, and that's where organizations need to start when they're looking at bringing in a customer advocacy function or maybe putting one within customer marketing, is what do they want from the role? And then start to make decisions. I think we all know that the most common, right, is marketing, because we just talked about that it's really a subset. It's always been viewed as a subset of customer marketing. So it's a logical choice because it supports sales and it supports, you know, customer voice and providing sales enablement materials, references, of course, and things like that. So it's logical to say sales or marketing. But I will say that one of the most fulfilling places thus far in my career is when I sat within the customer success organization. And there was just really a strong desire to focus on building even stronger customer relationships, retention, and upsell and cross-sell opportunities. And it was wonderful. Being there and having that focus was very refreshing for me. And that's what the org cared about. Again, probably off on a meandering path, but I will plug it that I think organizations need to put more focus on retention and keeping customers happy and looking for new ways to grow those relationships and grow the footprint. And there's tons of studies. I mean, Scott, you're a data guy, so you probably even know some of the stats off the top of your head.
Or 75% of the revenue of this.
Yeah, exactly. Like they've shown that keeping the base happy is a very successful business strategy. We're always going to hunt and always going to look for new logos. So customer advocacy just has a completely different approach and view when that's the focus versus, you know, just hammering out enablement materials.
If customer advocacy, parts of customer marketing move to different parts of the org, let's just say advocacy, if it moves to different parts of the org, do the metrics, do the KPIs or do things you're solving for change that much? And I'll give you an example while you're thinking. Like when I was at Intuit, the community team, and this happened organically, but then we realized it was a great thing, is every 6 months we moved to a different part of the organization. And when I say organically, reorgs moved us. But then we realized that there was real value there because it got more groups involved in the community and advocacy and what we were doing there. And the KPIs changed a little bit, right? So the KPIs for a product might be different than support or customer success. But we then came up with kind of these Uber metrics that we were trying to solve for, engagement ones, for example, on the community or advocacy, and then also like lifetime value or ARR and things like that. So I'm just curious, you know, if you have any, you know, thoughts on how much do the KPIs or goals change if advocacy moves to different parts of the org?
I think, yeah, the short answer is yes, they change. And I think they have to change because the goals are different. Mm-hmm. With the understanding that, of course, we're all working to support the umbrella goals of the organization. But if I'm an advocacy professional and let's say I sit in the product portion of the organization, obviously my goals would assume are going to be more closely aligned to customer engagement and feedback on the product. Do we have a new product or feature? Is it getting customers to join a pilot program and to give, you know, their feedback and then take that to generate content? So those goals would be a little different than if I'm sitting within the CS part of the organization and I'm going to be very focused then on retention and upsell opportunities. And same, you know, within sales, back to that Disney dream, and this might be a fantasy land, but if I could build my dream customer marketing and advocacy function, it would have enough resources that each part of the org would have a customer advocacy professional supporting them. And it can't be one supporting all parts. I think everyone, now, myself included, we all do that right now. And we're lucky if maybe we have a buddy or a colleague that helps to do that. But I think that's when we only scratch the surface. So how amazing would it be if we could have a small army of customer advocacy professionals that really could focus on those different parts of the organization? And I think what a tremendous asset that would be to our customers and our customer base, because everyone listening knows that not all customers are created equal. Kind of goes back to we're people before we're professionals, which means it's always been very important to me to capture customer preferences up front. Mm-hmm. One customer, they're not going to be the one on stage with the bright lights because that's terrifying to them. That's not where they shine. But boy, are they in the weeds with the product. And they could really be a star working with the product organization. But if advocacy professionals are spread so thin, they simply cannot do that and make those connections. It would just be so nice if we could do that. And I think it would also just improve customer engagement and the customer experience.
Yeah, no, I love that. It reminds me of when I was at Marketo, there was just Liz and me working on some of these activities. And so I use the term captains. We anointed captains in different groups who were, they weren't necessarily like dotted line, but their managers and I got aligned in terms of we all we're driving towards the same KPIs. And when we presented as a group. It wasn't just like Scott and Liz's org, you know, accomplished this. It was Scott and Liz and Ken and you know, Justin and everybody who was part of those, that extended team. And I think companies kind of struggle with like how to do that, as, you know, whether it's shared metrics, whether it's shared responsibility. We kind of took the monopoly approach a little bit, which is probably bad to admit, where, you know, Ken owned this part of this real estate on the platform, you know, and somebody owned this real estate. And we were there just to provide guidelines and guardrails. So
I don't think that that's bad to admit. I think that it worked, right? Yeah. There's some success to that particular, you know, model. Or I was fortunate when I was with Optum, where we had an advocacy professional based on lines of business, right? So that it wasn't everything for one person, but it was the different businesses and markets that we served. And that's another way that, you know, you could look at doing that. But again, that was one of those wonderful times when, you know, there were eight of us at, you know, all within an advocacy function. So I know that's not reality for everybody, but, you know, hats off to the one man band, you know, the one man, the one woman bands that are out there just sort of blazing the trail. And I will say that one of the things that I find is many of us are just so damn good at our jobs that we're juggling all of these different things and we make it look so easy that sometimes maybe that's why, you know, we're not seeing as much with the resources. But I hope that we all start to kind of like looking forward, right? With, hey, if I had this, mm-hmm. and if I had this, here's how much more could be accomplished. It would be nice if advocacy professionals had the time, had 5 minutes in their day to be strategic.
Yep. But I think you're right. There's incredibly, I mean, I've learned so much the past few years from the practitioners in this space. There's some great ideas. And the nice thing is the advocacy, customer marketing space, people want to collaborate. You know, they're really willing to share. So is there anything I haven't asked you today that you're like, damn, why didn't Wilder ask me that?
My answer is no, but I think that's because I just went off on my own tangents. Sorry about that, Scott. I know we had our focus and then I start to meander, but I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and to share. You know, like I said, I hope it's interesting and it resonates. And you commented on the community. That's why I think I stay, honestly, mm-hmm. within this particular space, because in just a few short years, it's really been the community that has elevated my game and has lifted me up. And I think if we just keep these conversations going, even if this is a launch pad into, you know, more conversations around different topics, I know that the community will take it and run with it. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
There will be a series. Allison, 1L.
Yes, just the one.
How can people, if they want to reach out to you and ask additional questions, where can they find you?
LinkedIn is probably the easiest way. It is, again, Allison, 1L. Bukowski, that one's not too hard to mess up. But I encourage people to just reach out, shoot me a message. I love it. I love connecting and having conversations. So please do.
Sounds great. Well, Allison, thank you for joining us today. Everybody, thanks for joining Customer Led Groove. If you want, you can find us on Apple's podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And if you do find us there, feel free to comment. Feedback is great. If we're going to be real customer marketers, we got to take that feedback, not just the quantitative, but the qualitative as well. So thank you, everybody. And we'll see you at the next Customer Led Groove podcast.
Thank you again for joining Customer Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer Led Groove.